It is Locked On Jazz for the 18th of April. Game 2, Jazz Thunder coming up. We'll review the biggest storylines for the Jazz. We'll look at the offense and the defense, and we'll NBA 5 as well. It's all coming up on this Wednesday edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How I am, David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. It's early here in Oklahoma City. I'm trying not to wake up my cohorts on either side of me, namely Derek, our PR guy, I think is next door and can probably hear me, yelling and screaming through the show. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. As we, this is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, look behind the curtains, hopefully a little bit more. You can get a bunch of videos at lockedonjazz.net and utahjazz.com/lockedonjazz, as well as written content there as well. And you can get all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network at lockedonsports.com. Today's show brought to you by The Store. Bunch of great local stuff going on there. Mizuma USA, and by Optimal Norms. I want to just kind of do a few things. I want to review a little bit of where we stand. There's not a lot of new news. I'll give you kind of the latest news. And then look at some big picture items. Then we'll break down some offense and some defense before we go to NBA 5 today, if that's good with you. By the way, the last two nights here in Oklahoma City, I had a very good steak one night. I let Oklahoma City do what it does. And then last night we found a cute little part of town and had some ramen. Travis Henderson, the Emmy Award winning director of the broadcast and producer, and I went out. So hopefully I give fair credence to an occasional good thing here in Oklahoma City. The fact is Oklahoma City's downtown is as dead as any place I've ever seen for a downtown. And I think if you get outside of downtown, there's all these little enclaves and little places where actually life exists. But what's weird in being here is, for example, we had the bowling outing, and then when we walked back from bowling, it was 6 o'clock, and we walked right through the middle of downtown, maybe 6:30, probably a 30-minute walk. We never broke stride. Like, we just kept walking. We didn't have to wait at a light. We saw two people in 30 minutes. It was probably the equivalent of walking from, Publix coffee shop at about Knight South and what is that, South Temple? Or is that West Temple? Probably West Temple. And walking through downtown and ending up like at the Harmon's or the Taqueria 27 in Salt Lake. And literally, we never had to break stride because there was never a car crossing the street. We just could keep walking and we didn't see a person. So it's really funky and weird, except for I think if you get outside of town, that's kind of what we learned last night and they learned the night before with a different group, that you get in these little enclaves and there's actually something to it. All right, news of the day. Donovan participated in parts of practice yesterday. It was a lengthy practice. And Donovan participated in some of it and is still listed as questionable. Paul George is actually listed as questionable, too, with a hip contusion. I'm sure he will play, but we'll see if it's slowing him down at all. He was getting Ron kept pointing out in the broadcast that he was being attended to throughout the time. So there's something legitimate. Didn't seem to slow him down much. Ricky Rubio stayed after practice to do extra shooting and spent a bunch of time back on the floor doing shooting and got himself back. I was doing the Channel 2 or their sister station piece with Dave Fox while he was doing that. The thing that I'm going to look for early in this game is the Jazz are at a physical disadvantage at three of the key positions. So Russell Westbrook is just physically bigger and stronger than Ricky Rubio, right? Ricky Rubio is a pest. He's reaching, he's grabbing, he's tapping, he's doing all these things. Like, I don't think that's bothering Westbrook. Is there anything? The answer to this may be no. Is there anything that can be done that impedes Russell Westbrook? The second thing is Paul George is bigger, physically stronger than Joe Ingles, and clearly knocked Joe out of his realm in the last game. Is there anything that Joe can do, and he's a little feisty, to kind of fight back in that situation and own his own space there? And then Steven Adams is bigger and physically stronger than Rudy Gobert. And I thought Rudy actually did do a pretty good job of this. And can he own that space? And then I would say when Jarebko and Crowder come off the bench, same thing with Carmelo. Jarebko, you know, Carmelo, the first possession, Carmelo is being guarded by Jarebko. Jarebko just ripped through on him and dunked. And then the next possession, Jarebko was off him a little bit. Excuse me. Can you fight and own that space? So that's a big one for me early in this game, is are the Jazz able to assert themselves and own their own area of the floor? This is an important game. Teams that go down 0-2 have only won 19 of 292 series. You go down 0-2, I believe that I heard on TNT, it's 273-19 when you lead a series 2-0. You have to win 4 of the next 5. It doesn't happen. That sounds like that would be a number that if the road team won 2, like happened in Portland, but I don't think so. I think that 273-19, at least I heard Kevin Harlan say that, is for all series. I mean, that's something else. That's less. You're winning less than 10% of the series if you lose tonight. So that's, to me, kind of just, you know, mano a mano, get into guys, talking to Igor Kokoschkov when Ron Boone, kind of awesome, by the way, Ron Boone asked to have a meeting with Igor to get the scouting report dialed in. I love Ron. He's just so into this. And that was a lot of what Igor had to say, was just like, you know, we got to man up. Like, we got to own our space. It's not very technical. It's not very X's and O's. We do plenty of that. But I think against these guys who, you know, are bigger and stronger and longer at a lot of the positions, you've got to own that space and handle that. Now, how do we do that? Because we don't want to really get in a wrestling match with them. You know, when you look at us offensively, and we'll dig into this a little bit more in a minute, but we, on average, per 100 possessions, throw 339 passes. And in game one, threw 279. So we threw 50 fewer passes than we do in an average game. What's interesting about that is it tells you a little bit how far we are, because if you go look at the number defensively for the season, which is kind of a weird number, but is Oklahoma's teams against Oklahoma City threw the third most amount of passes. So teams threw 330 passes against Oklahoma City this year, and we threw 339. And we ended up only throwing 279. Like, you would think that if that's what they allow and that's what we average, we'd actually be a little bit higher. So we throw the fourth most amount of passes of anyone in the league. Oklahoma City throws Oklahoma City allows the third most passes, or forces, I think in the case of Oklahoma City, forces people into the third most. And maybe that's what we're trying to avoid. But I think we've got to get back to that, which is moving the ball and throwing those passes. Now, against us, teams throw the fewest passes in a game against us, and Oklahoma City doesn't throw very many, and that came to fruition. So Oklahoma City only threw 228 passes in the entire game. And if you go to what they averaged for the year, they're, I think, the second or third fewest passes per 100 possessions in the league. They are the second at 268. So they were even below their number. But you'd suspect that, because also teams throw, the fewest amount of passes against us because they don't want to let Gobert get set up. So when teams play the Jazz, they only throw 297 passes on average. So there were that was a game with very little ball movement on both sides. And I think that'll be vital to the Jazz. And I think these are related. I think owning your space will lead not just defensively, but offensively will lead to ball movement. We'll continue talking about that as on today's show. I've got some more thoughts on that that I would like to get to if I may. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. They do great things. We're getting close to the Locked On Jazz card. Kind of excited for that for you. We're going to take five items that are my favorite items, and we're going to give you guys great discounts on them. So we should have that up and ready for you. I'm trying to choose my five items. Of course, one of them will be the Mudslide Cookie. The great thing about The Store is when you walk in, you just see and feel the local touch. I get a weekly email from them every week. And, this week's focus was Utah's Own. That's their Discover Local Food. So they're talking about the honest bitters that they have there, the Douglas Coffee Roasters, the Honey Tree, the Hollow Tree Honey, Park City Cakes, they have the Pops Pickles, the kombucha that's Utah's own kombucha company, their pear lavender and raspberry mule flavors kombucha. And then, of course, you've got the June pies as well. But that's what The Store is all about. If you haven't done the June pie yet, they are a woman out of Heber, makes these great dinner pies and quiches as well as just regular pies. And they're delivered on Friday mornings to The Store. So check it out at 6200 South and 20th East. I also love Every Day has their little special. Today is buy two, get one free on the fresh cookies. That includes the Mudslide Cookie, people. That's a Mudslide Cookie right there. So stop by today at 6200 South, 20th East. I appreciate the people who sent me little notes that they went out of their way to stop by and loved it. It's got a great vibe, local feel. Also, as you get over the snow and then the weather heats up, next door is the Cottonwood Ace, which has got the biggest Traeger lineup of anyone around. Today's show is also brought to you by Optimal Norms. Optimal Norms is a pretty cool concept, particularly for your young athlete. Optimal Norms is the best way to characterize it, I would just say, just use a simple term, mental performance consulting. So physical performance we build up in the weight room with training, with drills, but mental performance is how you handle pressure, how you maintain your confidence, your motivation, your focus, your decision-making, whether you can relax in key moments. It's a lot of what our guys are dealing with in the playoffs right now. So what does your young athlete need? Are we working on that in any way? Well, Optimal Norms is here to help you out with a mental performance consulting. They sessions are sit down one-on-one with a mental performance consultant, deliberate training in the mental aspects of the sport. Well, most athletes don't take the time, so you give your kid a nice little edge with that sports science aspect of things. The consultants have advanced degrees in sports science and psychology. Consultant sessions are based online. This makes it available to athletes no matter where they live, but also where they travel, so or how busy they are. You got a ton of homework, don't have the time to drive to the meeting, you're out on an event in wherever at a tournament, and you need some mental performance consulting, you can do it online. It's optimalnorms.com, 801-722-8180. That's 801-722-8180, optimalnorms.com. Tell them you were Locked On Jazz and you'll purchase five or more sessions. You get one for free. If you're going to physically train, then also train the brain. Mental performance consulting, optimalnorms.com, 801-722-8180. All right, let's go through offensively and defensively where the Jazz need to make improvements. We just talked about number one is that ball movement, how little ball movement there was in the last ball game. And I think a lot of this now comes to Joe. Like, Joe's a key piece of that ball movement, and he just had a tough time getting free of Paul George. And I don't think that we're going to suddenly – Joe's going to become any less important to the Jazz here in – you know, as the series, you can't. I don't think you can just suddenly say, you know what, Paul George is just too good. We're gonna have to try to find a way to go without without our guy. Our guy's too important to us. Joe Ingles has been too good, too vital, too on it all season long. And so I think you're going to have – Joe Ingles is going to have to find a way to fight through the intimidation, the physical play, of the way in which Paul George battles him. And the Jazz are going to have to find ways to get Joe Ingles engaged in the pick-and-roll game that he was not engaged in game one. He's just simply, I think, too important to what the Jazz do. The other one is that the Jazz during the season take 10% of their shots as corner threes. And they're one of the highest rates in the league, and Oklahoma City is one of the highest rates in the league. I think these are all related. I think if the Jazz can if you can get the Jazz to get their ball movement back to where they're supposed to, I think you'll be that we'll see this. But so the Jazz offensively this year took 29% of their threes, of their actual threes, and 10% of their overall shots as corner threes. That's the second highest rate of corner threes and the number one rate of threes being of your threes being corner threes. Oklahoma City defensively, and this is what made me optimistic in the series for the Jazz, because of the way Oklahoma City plays, where their big is up, they overshift. This is their weakness. They do a lot of things well, but they're one of the worst money ball defensive teams in the league. They allow opponents 9% of their shots to be three corner threes and 25% of their overall shots of their overall threes to be corner threes. Those two numbers are 28th and 30th in the league. So this is an area where the Jazz should be able to have you would think, a pretty good day. Well, the Jazz took 87 shots in game one. Five of them were corner threes. Five. So if the Jazz are supposed to be getting 10 to 12%, they got five. You know, if the Jazz get 10% and Oklahoma City allows 9%, you probably should be up at 12%. And the Jazz got 5. So they've got to be better than that. They went 2 for 5 on those as well. They've got to find that. That's got to be something where they open up and out of the half-court set are able to get better three-point looks than they got in game number one. They took 28 of their 87 shots as threes, which isn't bad. It's 32%. I think we want to be at 35 to 38% for the series. So that's got to increase. One of the ways that probably increases is better variety in the pick and roll, and that goes back to having Joe engaged at a higher level. And then the other way is back to where we started, which is back to the passes, that you average 339 per 100 possessions and you only threw 279. So you've got to get those items back to being who we are and what we usually do. And what's surprising to me in this regard to game one is these are not things that Oklahoma City usually takes away from people. So that's what jumps out to me here. Is that if we looked at Oklahoma City for the season, say, well, they don't allow corner threes, so we only got five, that would be one thing. But they do allow corner threes, and we didn't take advantage of it. And if you looked at them and said, well, they really play a system where you can't get the ball moving, you don't allow a lot of passing, that's not true, actually. Teams have their longest possessions in the league against Oklahoma City and usually have a great deal of passing. So those are things I would think, at least looking at the numbers and analyzing it, should be able to come back to the Jazz' favor, and we should be able to see. Now, defensively, the numbers weren't great, largely because, you know, Paul George had an incredible night. If you dig in a little bit, I don't know if I did this the other day, but you can look at a player's expected field goal percentage based on where they shoot. In game one, Russell Westbrook's was 47%. He only went 10 of 25, so you actually could expect if Russell got the same shots the next night that he should be a little higher since he was at 40%. He didn't make any threes. Paul George's expected field goal effective field goal percentage was 48%. Okay, well, he didn't do that because Paul George went 13 of 20 with 8 three-pointers. So Paul George's effective field goal percentage in the game was 85%. So really, you dealt with Paul George having this amazing day. And when you dug into the numbers a little bit, where Oklahoma City got their shots, who got their shots where, didn't seem particularly bad. And so I think that that's one where defensively, I'm not sure that if I'm the Jazz, I want to make a huge amount of changes. As we talked about on yesterday's show, just kind of reviewing a little bit, one thing they did take away was Westbrook's passing. And you'd probably like to do that. Oklahoma City, there's a stat called quantified shot quality. It measures the likelihood of any shot going in if the average NBA player takes that particular shot. In the game the other night, Oklahoma City's quantified shot quality was at 49.9. So the Jazz forced them into areas that weren't particularly good. They shot at 56.5. We shot exactly what you'd expect. We shot 53.4. We were at 53.2. You would like to believe that we could get a little bit better shot quality, but we had pretty good shot quality if our effective field goal percentage was supposed to be at 53%. Oklahoma City just shot way out of their realm. And so that's, you know, another piece of good news for the Jazz is that the expected shot quality of Oklahoma City was 49.9. Well, if you get enough defensive rebounds, when your shot quality is that much better than your opponent, you're going to win most games. That's a great takeaway for this ballgame for the Jazz, is that defensively, I would say more of the same. And really the key to me on all of that is Westbrook's passing. Keeping Westbrook away from those corner threes, passes. You know, he and Paul George, as we talked about on yesterday's show, the number two combination in the league on passes to the corner is Westbrook to Paul George. They don't have one yet. LeBron to J.R. Smith is the second. And then I think the big one's offensive rebounding. You know, offensive rebounding, they're the number one offensive rebounding team in the league. Steven Adams is a beast. They only had 9 the other day, but Steven Adams had 4 of them, and they kicked out to second chance points at an incredible level the other night. And so that's also it's not the offensive, it's not old school offensive rebound putback. It's offensive rebound, and then they kick back out and go and get you on that. And that's, I think, where the next level the Jazz have to keep an eye on. Second chance points, Oklahoma City shot 7 of 9 for 19 points. We shot 5 of 8 for 10 points. Oklahoma City on offensive rebound, second chance points, shot 7 of 9 for 19 points. That would be the second area. But points in the paint, they only had 32. A lot of really good things in that regard. Final one, I this is so cliche-ish, but just make sure Paul George feels a presence. I am curious to see. This is Russell Westbrook's team. The news has been talking about Paul George for the last 3 days. I'm curious to see how he comes out. Honestly, that's the other thing that I'm a little curious to see, is how Russell deals with that. I have pretty good faith in Russell. I think he plays the way he does with good intentions, not with bad intentions, if that makes sense. Today's show is brought to you in part by Mazuma USA. Tax season just went by April 15th. You hated doing your books. It was a mess. Maybe you filed an extension. You could have been using Mazuma USA, and if you have 1 to 5 employees, you're not only losing clarity and time, but you're losing money. For $75 a month, less if you use the promo code LOCKED, you get bookkeeping and reports, unlimited consultation from a CPA, personal and business tax returns. It's like dreamy. Here's how it works. You call Mazuma USA at 801-980-2102. That's 801-980-2102, or go to MazumaUSA.com. Sign up. You have an orientation call with bookkeeper and a CPA. You have your own assigned bookkeeper, your own assigned CPA. You hook up with them. They get access to you, the information they need, and they immediately send you the first set of reports. Then you have a tax plan discussion. Then every month you get a report, and every quarter you get a tax planning call. At the end of the year, it's all there for you. They've already compiled the month-by-month process, and April 15th is suddenly no longer a burden. No contract, canceled anytime, no hidden fees as well. It's MizumaUSA.com, 801-980-2102 for a free consultation. That's 801-980-2102, and make sure you use the promo code LOCK to get 25% off. All right, let's walk through a few things that happened in the NBA last night. What was Eric Bledsoe talking about that he doesn't even know who Terry Rozier is? Like, what a stupid insult when he just dropped 23 on you and you are down 0-2 in a series. If you didn't hear, Bledsoe, who got shook earlier in the series, when asked about Terry Rozier, who's really good, by the way. He's got a great wiggle, strong shot, good rebounder for a guard. Terry Rozier is bona fide. What a find by Boston. He's really good. I mean, he's part of the reason they're surviving now. Kyrie Irving is he's good. Jaylen Brown also dropped 30 last night. Jason Tatum had a great all-around game, but they didn't need him to do much more because Jaylen Brown dropped 30 and Morris gave him 18, and they beat Milwaukee 120-106. If their offense is good enough, they're defensively, they're pretty great. What's interesting is defensively, they weren't great last night. Milwaukee shot 60% and only took 17 threes. They just have a very bad shot profile in that game. Jabari Parker, 10 minutes and scoreless. I cannot figure out Jabari Parker at all. Antetokounmpo had another mammoth day, but Milwaukee seems to be working their way out of the playoffs right now. We'll see if they can recover at home. Washington just didn't play early in this game, which is interesting to me. They're just a mess. I don't know if Scott Brooks becomes the victim of it, but when Ty Lawson's playing 31 minutes and Mike Scott's playing 27, and that's like your group. That was a blowout in Toronto. So the Raptors go up 2-0. DeRozan was great, had 37. But it's more of a, to me, that was more of a Washington issue. You know, like they just didn't come out and play. I don't think Toronto's that much better than Washington, do we? So curious to see there. And then the stunner is what Drew Holiday and Rajon Rondo are doing to CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, and then Portland just doesn't have anything else. I mean, they got Mo Harkless back, and he was helpful to them, but they just don't have anything else. Evan Turner is tough on them at 0-6. But when CJ and Dame are not rolling, and they were 4-15 from 3 again, they only shot 4 free throws, Drew Holiday has been a beast. An absolute beast so far in that series and dominating. But that's New Orleans is going to advance. And so New Orleans is going to go play the Warriors, which I think to a little bit feel like the Warriors just dodged another bullet. But maybe not. Maybe New Orleans is that good. Anthony Davis has been playing at a very high level. And it's interesting how teams just match up. I mean, you watch that series, it's just clear that New Orleans matches up on Portland. Those guards cause them a lot of problems. We don't have the same guard line to do that to them. Portland causes us a lot of problems. So that's a little bit of a stunner. We probably should have expected something of the sort when you kind of think about 3-8 in the Western Conference in that playoff battle, that it was also close, that if one team has a slight matchup advantage against another team, then that's what you're going to end up seeing, is that type of not mismatch, but so-called surprise. Pretty fascinating game before ours, Indiana and Cleveland. We'll see what they do. We tip at 6 o'clock Mountain Time tonight. Local coverage, I'll be on the radio with Ron. Matt and Craig will be on television for you. That is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. For all the latest, go to LockedOnJazz.net or go to UtahJazz.com/LockedOnJazz. And for all the latest in the Locked On Podcast Network, go to LockedOnSports.com. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in.